This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. Hopefully that didn't pop too much because this is the first time I'm doing this level purely audio. Audibly.
It doesn't pop as much as that person said it does.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's in my head, that. We've got a new audio setup, folks. We've got proper, expensive microphones on metal arms.
I love it.
And not those old headsets that were old when we got them 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
But they've been falling apart, fraying. There's a part of the band that goes over the top of the head of my set that just comes off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were terrible. You haven't finished your introduction, by the way.
I'm Ollie Davis, if you don't know. But you already knew that. What was the old Alberto Del Rio thing? But you already knew that, didn't you? Something like that. I'm Alberto Del Rio. And then he would say, but you already knew that, didn't you? Maybe I'm putting a bit too much Welsh into that.
Well, he was a very Welsh
character. But you already knew that, didn't you? Go Gwendolyn. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, the master of accents, Ollie Davis.
Give me another one. Don't do anything that's sort of
Yorkshire
ethnically awkward, because that always comes out. Yorkshire. Even though they're just all accents.
Yorkshire.
Here, pet. I'm from Yorkshire. Give me a Yorkshire pudding. I like Leeds United.
We were watching an episode of Fresh Off the Boat the other day, which is a fantastic comedy series. It's so funny, and I bloody love Constance Wu. She's so good. But the lead guy, Randall Park, does a very good Donald Duck voice. You know, I can't do it. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Do you know who does a really good Donald Duck voice?" And she was like, "Ollie Davis." And I was like, "No." And we listened.
You don't know that.
I said, "No, he doesn't." And then we went through a couple of things. She said, "By the way, I knew it was never going to be Ollie Davis." Of all the people, I said, it was never going to be him.
Oh, I'm glad you make fun of me at home when I'm not around.
Yeah. Can you do a Donald Duck voice?
I don't know.
It's not bad.
Are you talking about?
So what I'm doing is I'm kind of collapsing my voice box into my chin and just putting a lot of spit in my mouth.
Yeah.
What's ever? Do your one.
All my accents seem to go New York eventually. Angry New Yorker.
Eventually, every road leads to New York.
It's just my Vince McMahon one. It's the only one I can do confidently.
Can I do some real talk with you?
Yeah.
So I went to go get my hair cut yesterday.
Looks snazzy.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. So I went to go get my hair cut.
Fresh trim.
Thanks. It's fresh off the head. And I went to go get my haircuts. When we were recording this on a Friday, I went to go get my haircut on Thursday. And my barber or my hairdresser was in there. She looks like June Diane Raphael. Anyone who watches Grace and Frankie or listens to How Did This Get Made. And but she was cutting my hair, you know, and she was sort of looking at, she was
You just did
around.
A shear motion, like garden clippers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How big were the utensils?
Well, she's basically like Brutus the Barber beefcake.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's what I was after. So she went, what do you want? And I said, I have what I usually have. 0.5 all around the sides, up until the line, and then just
you go to 0.5 on the sides?
Yeah, yeah. I like it as short as possible.
Wow.
So she did the 0.5.
It's your taste in women, too.
So she did the 0.5 around the side, and then she stopped and she paused, and she was like, I think it's time to give this up.
Wait. I'm automatically thinking one thing. Maybe she could. Well, she wasn't talking to someone else.
She was talking directly to me. And she was talking about my hair.
They're quite forward in there.
Aren't they just? I mean, I know they give you free beer and everything. I didn't have one. But, like, she...
Maybe she'd had a few.
Yeah, she literally just thought, she was like, it's time to give this up. And I was like, sorry? and she was like... It's not working. I mean, if a gust of wind goes, she's going to look ridiculous.
Wow. Which blonde lady was it? Because me and Luke go to the same barbers. There's one guy in there who always cuts my hair. He's fantastic.
I haven't actually had that guy cut my hair.
He told me that I've been parting my hair wrong on the wrong side of my life.
Oh, yes, he did.
And I had him again last night. Me and Luke have synced up, like, women and their times of the month.
Well, that's a picture of June Diane Raphael. She looks like that one. Very thick Essex accent.
Is she? Well, they're all related. They're all sisters.
Are they really?
And the elderly one of them, who looks the same age as all of them, is the mum. Is she a bit larger than the other?
She was
ladies?
Also wearing Dave Meltzer's jumper from.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah.
She's the most loutish of them all.
Yeah, isn't she just?
She came out when I was getting my hair cut. She came out of the toilet and went, "Whoa." Maybe she had a few beers.
Could be, but yeah.
This was a hairdresser.
She was just like, I'm just being honest. I'm brutally honest with people because you're like a walking billboard when you leave this place of the work that I do. You're my client. So I want you looking as good as you possibly can when you walk out of here. And she prefaced things like, you've got such a lovely shaped head. You've got a really nice head. Yeah. You've got a really nice face.
I've always said that about you.
Thank you very much. Which is one of the reasons why I've never shaved my head, because I always thought my head was a weird shape. And she was like, you know, your beard's really good. So you don't need to have this thing up on top. It doesn't work.
Can you take your... Is that why you're wearing a hat right now?
Well, no, I'm wearing a hat because I was on camera today and I can't be arsed with YouTube comments talking about it.
Can I have a look? Oh, that looks fine.
That's what I thought. I thought it was fine.
Spin round.
Well, this is where it's going to reveal the massive baldness at the back.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're combing it over.
Oh, 100%. I'm combing this over.
One of the strands has fallen down, probably because of the hat. To create a kind of rat tail effect. I think you should also double down on that. You should have one, just let one really long strand grow
just
at the back.
Just grow out, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a real, like, man, it was a wake-up call. It was like The Rock's wake-up call, that TV show he once had.
So what are you going
to
do?
Well, she then, like, because she said this, and she was like, you know, it's time for this to go. You need to give this up. And
good
grief. With the clippers in her hand, and then she was like, so we're doing it, yeah? Before I'd even said no, she was like, I could just do it now. And I'm like, whoa, before you, and I was like, no, I'm not ready to give it up just yet. Also, my wife likes my haircut. And to be honest, I value her opinion more than I value yours, lady I don't even know.
Did you say that?
No, but I said, like, my wife really likes my haircut. And then she said, I would like to have a word with your wife.
Whoa!
I know, right?
Her, I feel like she's misjudged the banter. this is banter had amongst lifelong friends.
I know. It was hurtful a little bit.
Man.
Yeah.
Are you gonna do some? I wouldn't even do some feedback because they're probably all just laugh at you.
Oh, totally. Yeah. If they ever heard this, yeah.
Well, the great thing about your wife is that she is short. And she can't see that.
She never sees the fact that I'm really bald at the back. And the way that we have our camera set up, you wouldn't notice it if I wasn't wearing a hat. But man, I just can't be. I can't be arsed with children not understanding that people lose their hair, because that's all the people. That's the people who comment that I'm losing my hair are children idiots.
Well, no one. I think that the problem is it's the mid stage, isn't it? Because no one says to Laurie that he's bald.
No,
because that's quite blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
But me and you, they do sometimes go after about the The receding hairlines.
The Widow's Peak, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the islands and things like that. So, yeah, it was a bit of a gut punch. I tried to laugh it out. You know, I tried to, like, really sort of make light of it. But she was not laughing back.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Because sometimes you do cry.
Well, yeah, no, that's yeah, absolutely. But I did say, I was like, maybe this will be my last ever haircut. And she just went,
Oh, man, yeah. That is rough.
I didn't tip.
I didn't.
She seemed surprised I didn't tip as well.
When I
asked for my change, she did seem a bit surprised.
She did a great job on the beard, though.
Oh, the beard's amazing. She did a really good job on my hair. Like, I think my haircut's really nice. Yeah. I think my haircut's pretty nice. It's just like, I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to bother cutting this much off? But I thought she did a really nice job on my beard.
I saw you when you came back. You seemed fine.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know you were going through a world of existential hurt.
Well, it's because I've never had a hairdresser say it to me. I've said it to myself, you know, and I've said it to friends. You and I have
like
had this
conversation. Like a Mojo Rawley promo.
Yeah.
In the mirror. But with also a mirror behind you.
Yeah. I'm talking to the bald spot. So I'm well aware, like, that I've got like a year's, I probably last year I had about a year's left of the comb over before it became like, before it had to go. So I'm well aware, like, it was just, I've never had a hairdresser say it to me.
Well, what we should
do. Anyone who's never cut my hair before.
There's a bit in today's show where we talk about one last run for John Cena.
Yeah.
You can't, like, one last title win run, his 17th. Title win.
Are you trying to say that I should get hair plugs?
Well, I'm just saying, if you do suddenly decide to get rid of it, if you came back to the office and you were like, I just decided to shave it all off because a nasty woman told me to, I would have been furious at you. Because that is something we can make content out of.
I was thinking this. When she was going to like clip it off, I was like, well, this is a video first.
The content!
I was going to say, I mean, A, that's a video first. Like, don't just shave this off.
We build up to that
exactly.
For a punishment, yeah. Absolutely savage punishments, where we only do the hair, not eyebrows or anything else.
No, I quite like the rest of everything else, to be honest. So, anyway, yeah, that's we're going to kick off with the show now.
We're going to what? You just said cack.
That's a kickoff with the show.
It sounded like cack off.
Yeah, I might have said that. pockets on shoes. We're going to kick off with the show talking about AEW. Oh, that was the other shoe. She's like, you got nice shoes. What do you need hair for? Talking about my shoes.
She's definitely on meth. That's weird. That's weird. Logic.
So anyway, we're going to kick with the show talking about the AEW ticket rally that was held in Las Vegas on Thursday. Here's the show.
So my first time in the new Wrestle Ramble set with, yes, microphones on arms. Yeah, well, we're going to get a little pop shield. So apologies for all the P's. Penelope Ford is one person. I think she's the only P person. Oh, Pack. Hangman Page.
Yeah, there's a few in there.
Oh, when you start looking for them, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So sorry for all the P-pops, but we've got farm. This isn't where the new stuff stops.
Exactly. We teased this on the NXT review, but this is just phase one of the... Well, technically it's phase two of the new setup because getting the new set was like phase one. So we're in phase two at the moment, but really phase three, which is the end game, is just around the corner.
Yeah, but we won't dither too much on that. We'll save that for the podcast. Podcast. We're here to talk about All Elite Wrestling. Chat me up, Luke Owen, about the big ticket launch party thing.
Yeah, did you watch it?
No.
No.
So I was here building the set.
Yes. But you didn't feel like watching it this morning? I suppose you had to watch Elimination Chamber 2011.
And my freaking car was broken into. So yes, I'll leave this one to you.
Terrible. Don't watch NXT. Don't watch AEW. Do you even like wrestling?
No, I hate it. This is such a horrible life.
Ooh, I've wasted my life. Mm-hmm. So All Elite Wrestling held their second rally. This one was at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. This was the ticket announcement party for Double or Nothing, which is going to be the follow-up show to All In. I suppose really the big takeaway from this, because I've seen a few people that were a bit down on this. Andy Datson came into the office this morning and was like, well, that was pointless. He didn't seem very enthused about it at all. But I thought actually it was pretty good. We've got some new names on there. And there wasn't any, like, aside from Kenny Omega, no like big, oh my effing Jesus name. But it was names that we'd already sort of heard, like Sammy Guevara and Kylie Rae and the Lucha Brothers and Chucky T and Trent Beretta. In fact, really, the only Nyla Rose was about the only name that we weren't really expecting, I guess, because she hadn't been linked to AEW or like Aja Kong or, you know, something like that. But really, the big takeaway from this show was that they announced pre-sale codes for Double or Nothing. So they said, we're not going to make the same mistakes we did with All In. So you can go to allelitewrestling.com now.
Running wildly overtime matches.
Yes. They're not going to... we're going to launch this on All Elite Wrestling. You go to there and you can register your interest and that will get you a code and then you can use that code on the pre-order, which is on Monday, and that will guarantee you a ticket. Already, I feel like this might have been an error because... According to Cody on Jim Ross...
It'll guarantee you a ticket.
Well, I think they were sort of skirting around that, but they were saying we're not trying to make the same mistakes we did. Because essentially what you've done is you've done a pre-sale before the pre-sale. And he said on Jim Ross's podcast that the MGM Grand, a strong estimate would be 11,600 seats in that building. No more than that. That's a strong estimate. And by 10:15 p.m. on Thursday night, they'd sold 12,000 codes. And there's only going to be more people registering their interest. The website crashed. There were that many people trying to get onto it. So I suppose that's really the big takeaway from it, was that they announced tickets and they broke their website and they've already sold out their second show, which is actually a great thing. Like Nick and Cody were laughing about this in a press conference afterwards. They're like, yeah, the website crashed. But it's a good crash. It's a good kind of crash. It was okay. We're quite happy with this crash.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. This shows that there's a lot of interest and excitement around it. And I think all the people who didn't go to All In, because there was an argument about All In, whether that was the peak, that was the climax of this outside WWE wrestling bubble. Yeah. And really, that was sort of the money shot where it's a spectacular moment, but then you don't feel that interested in what you're watching afterwards because the big thing's over. But this shows that there's more people who either, I bet everyone who went wants to go to the next one because they feel like they're part of something building from the ground up.
It's like progress in its early days.
Yeah, which I was a part of because I liked it before it was cool. And a bunch of other people who thought, I'm not going to go to that one. But then they saw how fun it was. Got massive, is it FOMO? Fear of missing out?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of
people... I only learned about this week, FOMO.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I imagine, it's really good that they've sold out again. It's just, I wish they went for a larger building. Because the first one sold, although the 10,000 figure, it was more like 11,000 that they crammed into the building. So they've gone for a building that's about 700 seats more in capacity.
Yeah.
But
I think they were probably playing it safe. Just being like, don't, because you sold out 10,000, you don't want to say, well, we'll do 20,000 next then. You just want to sort of, yeah, I think it's probably a smart play, but at the same time, you're like, oh, if only you'd have picked a bigger building.
There's also the thing, register your interest, to me, sounds like my birthday parties on Facebook. The amount of people who say they're coming is drastically higher than the people who turn up.
Go. Exactly, yeah.
Joe. So maybe that's, maybe you're actually looking more at a 50% of the people who have signed up already. But this is fitting with the 30-minute sellout before. And like you said, if tickets don't go on sale till Monday, in which case, what was the thing? It was a ticket announcement party.
Yeah.
So you're announcing that tickets are going to go on sale.
And when they're going to go on sale. I guess that was kind of the point of it. But also...
Not a launch party.
No. And also, All Elite are very much in this sort of mode at the moment where I think they're using these rallies to kind of like drip feed you information about this product. Because like they didn't make any major announcements like a TV deal, even though reportedly there is a major one in the works. Or they didn't bring in, you know, some really, really big names other than Kenny Omega. But...
And Pentagon and Phoenix. This is... So I woke up and I read the sort of spoilers of what happened. And then I watched a few clips and talking to Randy Datz. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it didn't feel as big as the other one. And then I sat back and I thought, Kenny Omega's confirmed. Pentagon Jr.'s confirmed. Jimmy Havoc confirmed 2 days ago, who's one of my favourite wrestlers in the UK.
One of your favourite people in the UK.
It's like... This is huge.
It's a huge thing.
It's actually
right?
a very yeah, huge yeah. thing, but because it's been so expected and because they did the angle with the Lucha Bros, I think last weekend,
yeah,
it's kind of, they did shoot themselves in the foot for this being a big reveal moment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We were saying at sort of the top of this show, everyone that was there were people that you sort of expected to be there. And even like the names that weren't there, you already know are going there, like Jimmy Havoc or Bea Priestley or someone along those lines. So if Jimmy and Bea are at the next shows, you're like, well, yeah, I expected them to be there. So yeah, it's kind of this sort of double-edged sword there at the moment where they're being linked to so many names. And it just seems to be those names that they're linked to are then signed. The Lucha Brothers one is really interesting. And what I thought was kind of the most fascinating thing about this rally, just sort of moving the conversation along ever so slightly with the Lucha Brothers, thank you for that, was their partnership that they've announced with AAA, which I thought was very, very interesting. Figure Four called it a politically interesting move because New Japan Pro Wrestling have a relationship with CMLL, which is obviously then a relationship with Ring of Honor. And it almost feels like, I think some people are speculating that perhaps they've gone with AAA because that way they can do sort of like a cross promotion of talent and they don't have to try and get into bed with CMLL and therefore not New Japan, who at the moment, Harold Meade, when he was talking to Yahoo Sports in Japan, seemed very unenthused about like joining a relationship with AEW.
I think that's so short-sighted. I feel like there is a bit of an honor thing holding them back here. Literally, with Ring of Honor being the US promotion New Japan and CMLL have working relationships with.
Yeah.
And also kind of a pride thing. I think this promotion, this young upstart thing, has taken a lot of your talent. Like the Young Bucks, hugely popular in New Japan, along with Kenny Omega, well, who was the top champion just a few months ago.
I was going to say, you look at those American shows that they did quite recently and all the reports that came out of them. I know they had the visa issues, but like all the reports that came out of them were just like, these were not very good shows at all.
Yeah. I feel like that there's sort of an emotional reason beyond a political strategic reason for New Japan not just saying, okay, sorry, we're dropping everything and going with AEW. Also, like I feel like the culture in Japan would honor pre-existing working arrangements anyway, so they've got a long-running deal with Ring of Honor.
Exactly.
So they wouldn't just jump into a new thing.
And the report is as well that New Japan were very upset that AEW took Trent Barretta from them.
Oh, yeah, I guess he was another signing with the Best Friends and Chucky T. And Trent Barretta has been a large part of New Japan for a long time, teaming with Rocky Romero, part of, what faction was he part of? I'm just going to say Chaos.
As good a guess as any.
Probably at one point he was. And the Best Friends had wrestled a lot in Ring of Honor as well. So, yeah, that's another interesting thing. But as always, there's one loser here, and it's Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, well, so the reports are with the Lucha Brothers contract that they've got with AEW is they're allowed to work with other promotions because they're quite prominent within Impact Wrestling, I would argue at the moment.
And Major League Wrestling, and MLW.
And MLW, yeah, exactly. And Pentagon Jr., one of the reported reasons why he turned down a WWE offer last year when WWE were aggressively going after the Lucha Brothers, one of the reasons that Pentagon turned down the offer is he wants to work with New Japan. And like Chris Jericho, he's allowed to still work with New Japan under his AEW contract. So I guess so Lucha Brothers can still do that, but where that leaves Impact is a grey area, I suppose. Mm. But interestingly, AAA have a relationship with Impact. Conan is working both of them. He's the head of creative for both Impact and AAA. So is there then going to be some sort of relationship between AEW and Impact that we haven't really supposed to discuss because we've all been talking about Ring of Honor and New Japan?
Well, yeah, and Impact seem to be open to everyone because they've got a lot of groundwork to make up for after the last few years.
Unfortunately so.
And they were working with Ring of Honor just last year when Austin Aries would turn up in Ring of Honor and challenge people for their mid-card titles despite being the top champion in Impact.
And back with the Hardys, they were meant to be doing some stuff Bucks. Like, they'd arranged to do some matches with the Hardys. The reason why the Hardys went to Ring of Honor is because the idea was the Bucks were then going to come over to Impact. And that just never worked. Impact always seemed to be
There was a regime change during that time.
Yeah, yeah. Impact always seemed to be the ones that will give you talent, then we never get anything back in return. Which is a real shame for them, I guess.
I I just, maybe, I think Impact would love to work with All Elite Wrestling, but if I'm AEW, and I like Impact, remember, I don't want anything to do with Impact. Yeah. Because Impact to me, well, in AEW's eyes, I imagine, has so much of the TNA aura about it. And TNA was the last North American promotion that really tried to take it to WWE, and they didn't succeed at all.
It's almost a poison name at this point, which is really unfortunate for them. And, you know, they're on sort of Pursuit Channel at the moment and sort of like streaming things on Twitch, and it just isn't seem to be really working out for them at the moment.
It's a shame because I want to see Austin Aries in AEW. I didn't realize that until this week. Of all the free agents and names, no one said Austin Aries.
No.
But he's, I mean, he's a huge player in this, surely.
I want OVE. I want OVE.
Oh, Sammy Callahan versus Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sammy with the Crists going to AEW. And that's great. That's money to me.
Well, maybe I think Impact, the best thing for Impact is they get a bit of the AEW rub. And maybe that's how All Elite benefit from it. They get some talent from Impact, and Impact can kind of jostle their way up. Another interesting thing, we'll get to Double or Nothing in a moment.
There was
a lot to talk about from that rally where we're all disappointed and
apparently
nothing happened.
So, yeah.
Is that Kenny Omega is also a co-executive vice president of AEW, not just a performer, which I think is, I did not see that coming. For me, that's actually alongside the AAA announcement in terms of surprise. Because all the wrestling and talent and matches that were set up, I think we all saw coming. But the low-key political stuff coming out of this is really, really interesting. And Omega is such a creative guy, and he has a certain perception of wrestling, how it should be pretty much an anime, which I love. I'm fully behind this. The way he presents himself and films those intro packages and makes his entrances special for Wrestle Kingdom matches, it will be really interesting to see what he brings to the co-executive role. Obviously, Cody seems to be the business brain. Mm-hmm. The Bucks seem to be the social media merch geniuses. Kenny could be the last part of this quadrant that really brings the artistic value to it. And Chris Jericho also, as reported, has a lot of sway in the promotion.
I bet you he has.
Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, who do they both love? Don Callis of Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
So that he's the guy that got those two together to have the Wrestle Kingdom match, which arguably a lot of this All In stuff can be traced back to much as Dave Meltzer's original tweet with Cody.
Completely, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the Impact side of things plays out. They could even, when we all said out of all of this, Ring of Honor and Impact are the losers no matter what happens, Impact might have found a way to up in top. I've convinced myself the other way. I started off saying Impact were doomed.
They stand the most to gain from AEW, I would argue, because at the moment, AEW are almost at war. People keep saying like AEW are in war with WWE, but really they're more like in war with Ring of Honor and New Japan, because they are part of this sort of really big, they're a really big sector of this talent bidding war that's currently going on. Of these companies just trying to sign people to exclusive contracts. Dave Meltzer said there's never been a better time to be a wrestler, because if you're a free agent in particular, you have got various companies that are going to be coming to you offering you exclusive deals, but also with the ability to go and wrestle elsewhere and this and the other. WWE would be about the only one where they're like, you're here and you're here alone. Everyone else would be like, you can be here, but if you really want to, I suppose we can work into the contract that you can go over here as well. Impact are never part of that conversation, though, because they're not trying to sign people to exclusive contracts. And that then allows their talent to be more free. And as you say, to be like, okay, well, we can give you X, Y, and Z to do Double or Nothing if we can have ABC to come over and work Slammiversary or Bound for Glory or something like that.
Which they'll never get.
Well, no, what they'll do is they'll send...
Lost it in the post.
Yeah, they'll send OVE, like for Double or Nothing, and they'll get back the Lucha Brothers. Who they've already got.
Yeah, yeah, good point. So talking about the actual Double or Nothing card and those Lucha Bros, there weren't any new matches set. Oh, no, there was one new match set up, which was SCU of Christopher Daniels, Scorpio Sky, and Frankie Kazarian versus...
Shima,
who is a Chinese wrestler from OWE.
I don't know if he is Chinese.
Is he not? I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to quit.
I'm not familiar with him, and OWE keeps auto-correcting in my head as OVW. So that's throwing me off a lot. But they're a Chinese promotion that have a working relationship with AEW.
Yeah, he's Japanese.
The only one...
because he was trained by Ultimo Dragon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's because
I know who he is.
I was like, I don't think he is Chinese, because the story is he went to China to launch professional wrestling over there.
Yeah, and he's got a cool backstory as part of a faction, from what I can remember. That's very vague. And so you've got that match. I'm sure that'll be fine. That's like your sort of mid-card filler.
A good sort of debut for the OWE guys to really like sort of put them onto an American stage and be like, and you couldn't have picked a better partner or opponents rather than Christopher Daniels and Kazarian and Scorpio Sky, really.
Yeah, Daniels, the master of making everyone look great.
He's so talented.
Also, it's interesting how AEW's first partnership is with a Chinese promotion. And you think of all the stuff WWE did a few years ago to try and break into that Chinese market.
Yeah.
All Elite Wrestling, maybe this is their actual big plan to globalize that way.
It's interesting, but although I did see someone posted on the Wrestling Observer boards who lives in China that OWE is kind of seen as a bit of a joke amongst China. Because, like, from what I can gather, from what stuff that I've read, China as a country has zero interest in professional wrestling. And this was kind of an experiment, but it's an experiment that hasn't really worked because it's almost like an impenetrable market. It's just a country that's not interested in wrestling whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, just a cultural thing. Well, we'll see on that one. But there's also the already announced from the first rally they did, Hangman Page versus Pac. I see that as being a... I feel like you've got three main events of this show. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't they say that would be for the title?
They don't say it's for the title, but they very much said this is the main event picture within this brand, within this company. These two are part of this main event scene because Pac's promo was all about how I've been places where I've never been seen. Or I've got a glass ceiling. I've never been at this level. And yeah, you had Alex Marvez and Conrad saying like these are the main events of All Elite Wrestling. So I'd imagine it will be for the title. It will be to crown the first champion, but that's as of yet unannounced.
Yeah, and or maybe a number one contenders thing.
Could be, yeah.
Because Hangman Page, when he was interrupted by Pac in that first rally, he was talking about how he wants to be the first champion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Pac came out with these stupidly named Open the Dream Gate Dragon Gate Championship.
You love it.
Oh, what an awful... It sounds like it's going to go on a motivational poster, that title.
It looks like the sort of posters that are hanging around this office.
But so that you've got that. I imagine that's third from the top. You've got... I mean, do the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros get the main event position?
No, absolutely not.
Well,
no.
They got the main event for the last one, and they were cheated out of time.
Omega Jericho is the main event here.
I agree. So Young Bucks and Lucha Bros is the co-main event,
yes,
in WrestleMania terms.
Oh, so it's going on first.
Opening the show. And I mean, that's not the worst idea.
Absolutely,
though.
It's really not.
I wouldn't do it. I'm a much bigger fan of putting your most important matches on closer to the end of the card.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole idea of opening with a bang. I like a steady build. And yeah, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, neither of those two matches have been confirmed, but the angles that happened at the ticket announcement party
set
those up. So when Omega was announced, Fozzy interrupted him.
Yeah, Jericho came out and they got into a fight and had to be broken up by Billy Gunn and Christopher Daniels and Cody. And Jericho was pulled to the back and Kenny did his little sign off.
And there's also rounding out the sort of angles was Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae.
Yes.
I don't know who these people are.
I'm unfamiliar with Kylie Rose. I'm also more or less unfamiliar with Kylie Rae as well. Nyla Rose. I haven't even said it wrong.
I'm not familiar with the combination of both these people.
I'm unfamiliar with a name I've just made up. Mm. I'm unfamiliar with Nyla Rose in particular, but also Kylie Rae, other than some of the pictures I've seen where she wears a Pikachu top. So...
Talk about all in there.
But this is, this feels like it's setting the stage for what their women's division is going to be. Dave Meltzer's been talking about this on Wrestling Observer Radio, and you know other people have as well, that All Elite, AEW's biggest hurdle that they're going to have is their women's division, because WWE spent last year hoovering up all of the best talent from around the world in terms of the women's wrestlers. That's why the NXT roster seems really stacked at the moment. That's why the Mae Young Classic was kind of stacked with talent as well. It's because WWE went around and went, and we just got all of them now, and they're all under our umbrella. So AEW now are just like, you know, Kylie Rae and Nyla Rose, they're the sort of names that they can get. But it's also it's kind of a brilliant thing. So it's the same with Jungle Boy and some of these other names that they've signed. They're projects. They can put them into a sort of, we're putting these people up onto a pedestal and saying like, yeah, you don't know them now, but give it 2 months and you will do.
Yeah. Also,
making new stars.
Impact. Impact have a great women's division.
Jordynne Grace, man.
Yeah, Jordynne Grace, Tessa Blanchard.
Tessa Blanchard, yeah.
So if you merge those two, maybe get a few talent exchanges there. I don't know. But those are the five both set up and confirmed matches. But we've got a big old roster of people with nothing to do at the moment.
Yeah, for a company that people used to say, like, oh, they haven't got a roster at all.
They've got 20 people.
All of a sudden, they've got this massive roster of people now to set up loads of matches.
They've got a smackdown of people. And it's like, because the people we've got here without matches aren't of the same name recognition as the people we've just talked about. But that's a stacked main event scene. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. Cody's got nothing to do on the card.
Yep.
Actually, he's someone we've missed off. Mm-hmm. Hangman Page, Neville, Pentagon, Phoenix. This is...
That's a good list of names you've got right
there.
Yeah,
and that's enough people to easily share between your top two titles. Or I guess the Bucks, again, there's going to be a strong tag team division. If you've got SCU, mm-hmm. You've got the Best Friends and Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros.
Yeah.
And the Revival eventually, presumably. And the Usos, come at me.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't say for the women's division, Sasha Banks. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Randy Orton's going to turn up too.
Yeah. No
Brock
Dolph Ziggler
Lesnar.
At this show. Yeah.
No, Dolph is never leaving WWE. But the big missed opportunity here for me, and it's unfortunate, Joey Janela got injured last year. He had a cracking match with Hangman Page at All In. That's the one where the penis druids came out. Joey Ryan hasn't been announced. I don't know what his Lucha Underground status is, well, and whether that stops him from being a part of it.
Because I think Pentagon and Phoenix got the same deal with Lucha Underground. Mm. And so I guess it's the Lucha Underground's a really weird thing because they are on sort of exclusive contracts, but I think there's somebody been able to work outside of the lines of those exclusive contracts.
Yeah.
Because Sonny, what's his name? Sonny Kiss, sorry. He's also a Lucha Underground talent.
Mm. My big missed opportunity is Joey Janela, who's injured, and Jimmy Havoc. You've got this madman Joey Janela and this sadist master of making your skin crawl with paper cuts and lemon juice into cuts.
You want to build to that one,
Jimmy,
don't you?
Jimmy Havoc.
You want to set that match up at Double or Nothing, because they've announced a third show that they're going to be doing in Jacksonville. Set that up at Double or Nothing to then pay off at the following show.
Do you really want a sort of really hardcore deathmatch vibe at a show that is aimed to raise money for survivors of gun violence? I think keep that show straight.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just think play that straight. Yeah, maybe save the death matches.
Yeah, you are right on that.
Yeah, I'd skip the Battle Royal as well. But so that's another thing. These are only five matches. All In had 9 on the main card.
Yes, 11 including
11
the
in total.
Yeah.
One of those on the pre-show being the enormously fun Battle Royal.
It's so much fun. I actually rewatched it quite recently. It's so much fun.
And Billy Gunn is a producer. He was in that match.
Yeah, where's his kid? Where's his kid being signed?
Yeah, so I could see there also being a fun Battle Royal over the top, over the budget.
Yeah, over the budget Battle Royal.
Yeah,
great
really
name
fun.
As well. It's good to see Colt get a showing.
So in terms of, but he's on the Ring of Honor side of things now. So I imagine that takes him out of it. So much of that original show was Ring of Honor talent. So it's, I guess Nick Aldis is someone we haven't mentioned.
Yep.
Who I'd imagine would go in. Mm-hmm. A rematch between him and Cody could be quite
nice. Yeah, I'd say. But like the draw for that match wasn't that it was Cody and Aldis. It was because it was for the NWA championship or the NWA world title.
Who has that? Is it Nick again?
I'll tell you what, I'll Google things live on air while you fill for time.
Well, that's still a cracking half of a card, mm-hmm. and it's really the top half. Omega versus Jericho, Page versus Pac, Bucks versus Bros.
The Wikipedia page still lists Cody Rhodes as the champion. So I don't think
maybe he is. So yeah, I think whatever that although there's a bit of, not disappointment, but I guess underwhelming feeling, I think that's more because we've been so, our expectations have been built up so much. Thursday's ticket announcement party and the angles that were set up coming out of it. And even though we all knew Omega was going to sign, this is still tremendously exciting.
Isn't it just?
And I would recommend, if anyone's getting jaded, I know there's a lot of AEW news at the moment, but that's because it's one of the biggest things to happen in wrestling in two decades.
Yeah.
But this is an exciting time. This is something to be excited for.
I'm stunned it's turned around this quickly.
I think it's a vocal minority.
Oh, it's 100%, but it's like any vocal minority. It's the same people that were rallying against like the Ghostbusters reboot. They're the ones that you sort of like end up getting focused on because they're the loudest people. When I was watching the stream this morning, because I had watched on a delay for the announcement party, I had to turn off the YouTube like live comments thing, because every single comment was just like, oh, is this supposed to compete with WWE? What a joke. Who's this? Never heard of this person. It was nothing but negativity. And I'm like, don't need this. I do not need this in my life right now.
It makes me feel good, though, because when we get negative comments, I'm like, oh, that's sad. But if I know Kenny Omega, the best wrestler, arguably, who's ever lived, who's had so many 6-star matches and 7-star matches.
Who's he ever beaten?
Yeah. And he's getting the same kind of vitriol. I'm thinking, okay, it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
If you're wondering to yourself what the heckins is a crap gimmick, well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swaff Nation, submit to us your submissions of crap gimmicks, and we, as the purveyors of crap gimmick wrestling, will decide whether or not we want to sign them to our roster. What do you think a crap gimmick is? Well, we like to think of it as that WWF style of you are a wrestler and a blank, but you can be more abstract with it. As we revealed last week, we've got a brand new way of doing this because we had such a huge backlog that was going back to August of last year that we still haven't got to yet. I'm picking one from August, and then I'm just picking them at random throughout the months and weeks that we've had since. So starting from August, we're towards the end of August here. James Starlet emails in Iceman Sparks with an X.
I like the use of the X. Oh, Sparks, is it just one X?
Yes.
That's a missed opportunity.
Should it be three?
Yeah, three. X's.
Absolutely. Well, if you like multiple letters, you're going to love one of the gimmicks that's coming up. So Iceman Sparks, bleached white hair and goatee, tall and muscular, wearing white contact lenses in blue and silver gear with an ice and lightning motif. When he was young, Iceman Sparks was struck by lightning. After that day, something died inside of him and he became excessively cruel and violent, working out constantly, his nerves being dulled by childhood trauma. His finisher is a variation of the Canadian backbreaker called the Cold Shoulder.
I like the visual design.
Solid submission. It feels like this would have been submitted to a crap gimmick, like the boxer gimmicks in the WWF in the mid-90s.
Yeah, there's not much depth there. I know it's probably the wrong place to look for depth in a crap gimmick segment, but... That's a really nice superficial gimmick. I felt you could dive into the punnage a bit more.
Yeah, like he doesn't feel pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. Okay, I like that. And again, the two X's, it's marked down in my estimation.
Jeremy Fane, who is one of our pledge hammers, the phenomenal one, to help add some baby faces to the roster, I submit Billy Boy Scout and Gabby Girl Scout. These two are in their early 20s who have come to CGW to earn a variety of merit badges. The quest for badges is what drives their backstage segments, feuds, and movesets. They come to the ring in typical Scout garb with a bugle charge as their entrance music. Sorry, I read that as bulge. And it. Billy slaps hands with all the fans while Gabby hands out cookies. They are both by-the-book wrestlers as they will roll out of the ring from time to time to consult their Scouts Guide to Wrestling manuals. They both use the same finisher, the salute, a saluting motion into the throat of their opponent. Thanks for the read. Have a good weekend. The phenomenal one.
I really like that one. I think the phenomenal one could have dived into the idea a bit more. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have heard a few examples of feuds based on badges that they could get.
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, like, okay, I want to get my knot tying badge. Boom. Submissions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I want to get my... You could like have that the scout leader would set... Their manager would be the scout leader, right? That's what they said.
Well, they don't say that, but that's a good addition.
That's what's happened in my head. And you would have... Is it a scout leader over there? Yeah, Boy Scout, Girl Scout. You would have him saying, okay, this week we're going to get this badge. And you'd be like, how are they going to win this badge in this match? Because it's about starting a fire.
Mm.
And then the whole crowd could be like... And you could build to that for weeks. You could... It doesn't have to be a weekly thing. They would get the badges at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In Inferno matches. And the sight of seeing two grown adults in the Scouts outfits in an Inferno match going hell to leather, blading, just to get this little sewn-on patch.
Although, funny enough, I don't know what American Scouts dress like.
Mm.
I know British ones because I was one and a cub. But I don't know what American Scouts like. And this is one of my favorite things with crap gimmick submissions that I've noticed. We've been doing this segment for like, you know, 2 years or whatever it is. That's one of the most common phrases I hear is blank wears usual or like stereotypical, typical blank garb. Because they've come up with a gimmick like they're a road worker. They come down to the ring in typical road worker garb.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what is that?
Yeah, be more descriptive, folks. But I like that. I think that's got a lot of mileage. It's a multi-gender tag team, and I would like some mixed gender violence.
Good.
Yeah, so excellent. That fits well.
And this comes in from Pele on December 10th. Hello, Luke.
The Pele?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Wow.
I know. I didn't know he was a fan.
Is he alive?
My last knowledge of Pele was he used to do those adverts for...
For erection tablets.
Yes, he did.
Are we still sponsored by Roman on the podcast?
I don't think we are anymore.
Because we are in good company with Pele.
Yeah. I think that one's been and gone, which is what some men say. So this comes in from Pele on December 10th. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I am Lefteres, and I'm from Cyprus, and I live in Leicester. It's quite the change, isn't it, to go from Cyprus to Leicester?
Hey, Leicester's
I didn't say it was a terrible part of the world. Hey, good pork pies and crisps. I would like to introduce you guys to Taz with lots of Z's. Taz is a short, overweight, ugly baby face, which the fans love because they feel sorry for him for being so ugly. Wait for it. He is wearing a singlet everywhere and he wears glasses like Taz's. Taz's being the wrestler. His theme song is something from Looney Tunes when Taz, the cartoon character, did the twisting thing and it made a sort of a motor sound like zzzz. So he doesn't look like Taz, wrestler. He looks like Taz, cartoon character.
Okay. Just because Taz has the wrestler Taz has famously thin skin.
Oh, yeah.
And he has called out multiple YouTubers.
He will come after us.
I think we're the only YouTubers who, because we tiptoe so delicately around Taz subjects, that he hasn't come after and started genuine beef with.
Yeah. Even on our, when we're behind the paywall when we've done podcasts,
we shut that down.
Yeah, don't say anything bad about Taz. He will come after you. He will suplex you.
So if Taz is watching or someone sends a clip to him into his radio show, we are not insulting Taz. The guy from Leicester is. Where does he live again?
Leicester.
Leicester, and his name is Leftarius. So you can.
Well, good pronunciation.
That's quite unique. You can track him down and attack him.
Anyway, his gimmick is a mix of Taz from Looney Tunes and Taz from ECW. He always cuts promos about running circles around his opponents, creating a Taz Twister, which is his finisher. Yeah, just running circles around them until the opponent gets dizzy and then faints. As soon as he faints, he grabs the mic and says, zzz, which doesn't mean anything, but does that every time anyway. His wrestling style is a general brawler who avoids fighting his opponents, even though it makes zero sense. Every time he avoids the first punch his opponent tries to throw at him, he turns straight at the hard camera, smiles, and gives a thumbs up even though the opponent is right in front of him. Hope you guys like it. Keep the awesome job for the daily content. Lots of love from Leicester.
I like the name, but I wanted it to go a different direction.
Oh, yeah?
I thought the genius of Taz, with multiple Zs, more than two, crucially, would be the fun of a cease and desist gimmick where he really is Taz. Like, maybe we just got Taz. But he has been priced out of four different name combinations by now.
Yeah.
They've all been trademarked by other companies, and he needs to pay off a beach house. So here he is in crap gimmick wrestling as Taz.
With more Zs.
Five Zs.
Yeah.
So I want you to legit pitch a crap gimmick for the real life wrestler Taz.
We were just talking about how we didn't want to get any beef with Taz, and now you're saying that he's struggling on his beach house.
No, I'm not. In this fictional world, this is all in character.
You are big, only getting nothing but DMs from him now. You've done it now. You've gone and made a big mistake. I can't allow you to think you could just walk away.
Should we sign the skanks now?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Just forget that whole Taz bit never happened.
And if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon and leave your comment in the community section. That is quite key. In the community section, do not email it to me. I will lose it. Just putting it out there. It happens. Dan did it.
Dan, number one fan, Dan.
Yes. Despite the fact I keep saying, in the community tab, email.
He's so good at following rules.
I know. Craig Roberts asks, with Y2J now in AEW, will Vince McMahon feel let down and stop Jericho from going into the Hall of Fame? I mean, my first point would be, it doesn't matter, because the Hall of Fame is a joke. But secondly, Jeff Jarrett's in the Hall of Fame. The Ultimate Warrior's in the Hall of Fame. Vince's emotions will change with the wind does. Like, Jericho will eventually go into the Hall of Fame for whatever reason.
Yeah. Jericho will finish. I mean, Jericho is getting on a bit. He's, what, mid-40s? Mm-hmm. No, he's like 40. Is he 48, 49?
Google on there.
Google that one as well. So he's getting on a bit. He's, realistically, his AEW run isn't going to be forever.
48,
yeah. So he's got a style. He's changed it up enough where he can still go at a very good level. But he will be over 50 soon. I think his AEW contract is 3 years, I want to say, as well. So that will take him to 51. And then, you know, maybe he signs for a year extra. And then he decides, I'm retired for the first time. And then he waits 2 years, doesn't do anything. That's when Vince will come over and say, hey, want to be the Raw general manager? And you get a Hall of Fame induction out of it and one last crappy run.
And then Stephanie can emasculate you on Raw every single week because she's the true authority figure.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see Jericho in that Mick. I would have said Mick Foley would never let that happen to him. But it did. Kurt was ripe for the picking, unfortunately.
Kurt walked right into their trap.
In hindsight, that was a big mistake. We all knew it. I thought they would take a serious route with Kurt.
No, absolutely not.
But Foley, I thought Foley wouldn't take that for so long, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Chris would get just emasculated around.
Could be. Diamond Crusader with his Do You Remember segment. Episode 30 of the Flickering Myth podcast. You told the listeners, I believe you they were actually called our congregation,
yes.
Not listeners.
Another thing we stole from Kermode and Mayer's podcast.
You told the congregation how both of you lost your mosh pit virginities. Luke at 14 and Ollie at, quote, almost 30. That podcast was also recorded from both of your respective bedrooms just a few days before the new Ghostbusters movie came out. Ollie's girlfriend also got a slow clap for writing an iTunes review for you. Thank you for being born and go monk yourself, Diamond Crusader.
I remember go monk yourself. That was the...
It was our pitch for the next Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
No, it was the official tagline of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was go monk yourself or get monked or something that just felt wrong to say on a kids' film.
Uptown Monk or something like
that. Yeah. Monk yourself. It sounds awful.
I thought it was our pitch for a new film.
Maybe.
I thought we had made that up because it's so terrible.
Maybe I made it up. I can't remember. I can't remember what's real and faking anymore. But yes, I do remember our mosh pit virginities. Yours came with seeing your first pair of exposed breasts in real life?
On the same day, yes. But it was at Reading Festival 2000, watching I'm gonna believe it was.
Terrible band to Google.
They really are. And every time, I think I've told the story on that podcast as well, that whenever my iPod, because it's very, very old and I don't want to buy a new one.
It's got the click wheel.
Yep. It genuinely has. Whenever it resets, because it will do, after it plays about 130 songs, it runs out of like memory and it just resets and starts again. By A is always the first song it will play.
Mm, smart.
It is smart. It's one of the most played tracks on my iPod.
My mosh pit virginity was lost when a friend at Glastonbury said, hey, let's go check out Bring Me the Horizon. They're really fun. I was like, they sound like a fun rock band. We get there. And before the gig starts, we somehow got right to the front because there was a lot of people who didn't want to be at the front. We didn't really see what was happening. And then this video played. It was like a public safety announcement. Please don't start fires. Don't do this, et cetera, et cetera. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't this funny? And then it all just stopped. And a woman's voice said, now open this mother effer up. And we were like, well, that's a weird turn of phrase. And then this big circle of death just happened in front of us that we were in. And we were just like, we've made a big mistake. And I turned to Rich, who was the guy who said we should go there. He says, I don't know what's happening. We shouldn't be here right now. But there was a metal bar behind us. We couldn't get out now. And then a guy just straight wanders into the middle of this circle that's now exposed, wearing a helmet. And all chaos just broke loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I jumped in. I got involved.
I believe the lead singer's exact words were, now effing kill each other.
Yeah. That terrified me.
To this day, my wife says it's one of the funniest stories she's ever heard. Is you recounting that. Zachary Gibson did send me in an email that somehow managed to make it in here, making the suggestion for a Legends belt. The on-air returns of Double J and the Road Dogg have made me wish the returning Legends had something to compete for in addition to putting over new talent. I think we've got enough titles as it is, and I don't think we just need to be giving like the Legends titles for the sake of it.
Exactly, especially when you know that they can only wrestle so many matches at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
who's going to have the belt? I don't like it at all. I'm afraid, because I think the best use of the Legends is to mix it up with the current roster of guys to sort of elevate them, give them that name rub, and eventually, hopefully, put them over. And I would love to see Jeff Jarrett go for the Intercontinental title. I think a Legends division would sort of be a bit of a joke after a while.
I wouldn't like it at all.
No.
Yeah. Zach also asked that he would like to be Mr. Soon to be recognized Zachary Gibson as his $25 and above name. Sure. But I've already picked one out for him. He is Patreon's number one, Zachary Gibson.
That's much better, Zachary.
Yeah. Dan the Man, when do you think the best time is for Cena to capture his 17th title reign, and how do you think it will be? P.S. Love all the work you guys do. Been a fan since the very beginning, and it only gets better as it goes on.
Of course, the correct answer here is at a B-level pay-per-view as a transitional champion.
Yes, that is definitely the way to do it.
No, it should be a full-on Tanahashi, one last hurrah thing, and maybe, I can't believe I'm saying this, 2011 Ollie is shaking his hand into the future with fury. He should retire as champion, and then the belt becomes vacant. And he should win that at WrestleMania, and then he should retire the next night on Raw. And then come back 3 years later. But, you know, it'd be a nice moment for that then. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm going to say never. I don't think Cena needs a 17th title reign. Is anyone really clamoring for a John Cena 17th title reign in 2019? I love John Cena as much as the next guy, don't get me wrong. But I'm not looking at John Cena going like, God, I hope he's champion again.
He doesn't need it, you're right. But I just think it would be such a good story to tell.
You want to do this with Kurt Angle as well.
Because it's a great story to tell that usually always works.
Yeah.
Yes.
It works with Tanahashi because people genuinely love Tanahashi.
I genuinely love Kurt Angle.
You genuinely love Kurt Angle.
Genuinely
people
love
chant,
John
you
Cena.
Suck at Kurt Angle.
They do
in
it
a
in
loving
jest.
Way. Olivia Brown, as a Dean Ambrose question, I've been looking at all the news feeds and all I see is Dean Ambrose going to AEW? My question at the moment, am I the only one who thinks he could go to Impact?
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, that sounds harsh on both you and Impact, but I think you might be the only person.
I guess there's the intrigue of a Sami Callihan Dean Ambrose match, but if he doesn't go to AEW, I can see him just turning up at a CZW show, kind of in the mold of Pac when he went to Dragon Gate. Yeah,
that's what he said on Jericho's podcast. He said that I'm going to do one more. When I leave WWE, I've got one more death match in me, and then I'm just going to retire, and that's it. I can see
from
him doing
death
that.
Matches or wrestling in general.
Wrestling in general.
Wow.
I could see, and we talked about this on last week's show. I think I can see him becoming this CM Punk mythical like figure of just like, when will Dean Ambrose return to wrestling? And when they hold All In 10, we'll be like, is Dean? And they're gonna go up to make him an offer, but he's gonna say it's not really an offer because I know you gave me a monetary value and a date with some flights, but it's not an offer.
It's vague.
I didn't understand the terms. Craig Roberts asks, I'm in need of some major advice from Luke, Ollie, and Laurie after joining WrestleTalk's Patreon and Inside the Ropes Patreon pages. I'm conflicted as to whether I should join Cultaholics after their shocking behavior towards the Swaff Nation last year. I mean, I would say so. Support who you like.
Yeah, if you've got the money for it, you should spread the funds around, the monetary love to
as many
struggling little wrestling YouTube channels like ourselves. But if you're going to drop... If you have to start cutting people, definitely Coldaholic first, then Inside the Ropes.
Yeah.
Should eliminate bread before you eliminate your Patreon pledge to us.
Which is probably just good life advice anyway. Juan Gabriel asks, I'm pretty sure the dish Ollie ate called Ropavasia.
It is!
Which means old rags or old clothes. It's a delicious dish. Rice beans, tostones,
yes!
Fried plantain, and meat with a delectable sauce. I highly recommend it to everyone. It's also a Puerto Rican dish.
Right, yeah, okay. So that's it. Had a longer name. It was like Ropa Vieja de Joste Rey Mysterio. It was delicious.
Connor Going, once AEW secures a weekly TV deal, as we expect it to do, what do you see the company's initial goals / objectives being? What kind of first steps can we expect to see? Put on a good weekly product, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make
money. Get the ratings up. Well the money will come from the TV deal.
Yes.
So they'll be making money from the get-go.
You'd think you only get that to then do more shows to make more money.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, first steps, that's an interesting one. I think you really concentrate on your TV product first for at least 6 months, and you do live shows, and then you start to flesh out your touring schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose the house shows will be. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge money driver. Well, it can be anyway.
It can. Yeah, I just think now, from the get-go, house shows I wouldn't focus on. I would focus on the TV product and making that as dynamic as possible. Doing like a pay-per-view every 2 months and a proper pay-per-view on traditional pay-per-view services. Mm-hmm. And then merch. I think that's the Young Bucks' real strength.
I was going to say, merchandise will be the one area. I think that's probably where they might, aside from TV, will be where they make the most money. Jack Dolan asks, if you could have a Stone Cold beer bash at any beer standing on the turnbuckle, if you could Stone Cold beer bash any beer standing on the turnbuckle, which beer would you choose? I am going to say Carling, because I don't want to waste good beer. Because with a Stone Cold beer bash, all you're doing is cracking two cans and then just pouring it over yourself.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that with a beer I like. That's a waste of beer.
I guess Stone Cold's not doing it thinking, oh, I'll waste money here. It's more about the decadence of it, isn't it? So you'd want to be bathed in your favourite thing, chocolate milk. Do I have to have beer? I want it to curdle all over me on a hot day.
Yeah.
Not thirst quenching in the slightest. And it will probably give you a funny tummy.
That's going to say, that churns my stomach a little bit because it reminds me of when I was super hungover. When I was about 16, maybe 17, I was so, so hungover. And I thought, do you know what's going to make me feel better? A big bottle of Fridge, you know, like the milkshake. And I had the chocolate fudge one because it's the one with Chief Wiggum on the front of it. And I downed the whole thing in one. And then I had a bus ride, and it was very shaky and very wobbly, and
it's
I
touch and go.
Threw up on it. In the aisle. Threw up in the middle of the aisle.
Was there anything out the other end?
Twofer? No, it wasn't a twofer. It was just all up. And there were people at the back of the bus who had then to sort of jump over it. Not one of my finer moments, I'll be honest with you. John Smith asks, how were you able to improve / become more confident when it comes to presenting videos? Any advice? Well, some will tell you that I haven't, but I can.
Oh, you have. You are awful. edit yourself. That sounds like edit yourself as
in front of the camera.
Don't talk as much. No, record yourself and then edit yourself into what you want the final thing to be, and do that for 3 months.
Yeah.
Do that daily for 3 months, and you'll see all the, because no one will hate your presenting style more than you.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Sort of, oh, I said that wrong. I've got a stupid nasal voice. Huh? I sound weird if I don't shout really loudly.
Yeah,
and you develop it that way.
That'd be the same advice I would have, is edit yourself. That was what I did when I first joined WrestleTalk, is I was editing all of my own videos, and that really did help me.
That was intentional.
I know, man. Yeah. It worked, because I did need some help. Martin Harmon asks, would you rather live in a world where the minimum cost of jeans is £50, but you get 50 pairs of quality jeans? Oh, hang on, I see. Would you rather live in a world where the minimum cost of jeans is £50, but you get £50 quality jeans, or tabletop games cost a maximum of £10, but you only get £10 quality games? So this stems from a podcast discussion we've been having about how I think that clothes are too expensive, and I don't think you need to spend any more than £10 on a pair of jeans. I think spending more than £15 on a pair of jeans is ludicrous and is unnecessary.
I'm of the other opinion, where that's a bit crazy talk. So, of course, I'll go for the £50 one. But what would you go for? Because this is designed for you.
It is designed for me. But, I mean, like, that suggests that you can't get decent tabletop games for £10, which you can. You can get loads of really good games for £10 or less.
But what about all the good over £10 quality ones you'll be missing out on?
You know, the ones I spent £130 on, things like that, like I did for the
just bit, like,
games.
How often do you buy jeans?
Well, I think I would go for the jeans option, but also if you're in a world where the minimum cost or the standard cost of jeans is £50, then I wouldn't be so head up about it, I guess, because I would just expect them to cost £50. But I would never spend more than £50 on a pair of jeans, because there's no, you know, like that jumper, the one that the blackface jumper that caused all that outrage,
the Gucci one.
Yes, and quite rightly so. I thought the most offensive thing about that was the fact it cost nearly £1,000 for a jumper. Who in the world is spending £1,000 on a jumper?
Because
that is insane.
You're more concerned about money than offending races.
That is terribly offensive. It really was. And it was so short-sighted and so idiotic to release. But also, it was £1,000. That isn't... That's a... Let's be fair.
It was about £650.
Okay, so it was $1,000 then. That's still...
It was $890. I don't know where the problem is.
You're saying, oh, well, really, in real world money, it's only 600 quid.
Yeah, in
like,
TK
that's
Maxx.
A fine amount.
In TK Maxx, that will be 400
eight
next
pounds,
year.
£8 this cost, yeah. And it's wonderful. £8. £600.
Is that all
jumper.
The questions?
I think that's all the questions.
That's all we've got time for today. Please leave your comments on how much we need pop shields on the mics, but also say how nice this new setup is, because we spent ages on it. And there's more to come with pop shields and hopefully no mistakes. In the intro, we were talking about hair and punishments. Mm-hmm. I'm a hairy person. Unfortunately, not where I want to be, on my head, but all over my body. Sometimes people see my calves and they think I'm an ape man.
Yeah?
Some kind of missing link. And
you're not that hairy though, are you?
I would say that's very hairy.
Your legs are quite hairy, but I wouldn't say they're like crazy hairy.
It gets hairier as you go up the leg. And around the middle area, it's like a 70s adult film in there.
Yeah.
So I've always thought one day I'd wax my legs. It'd be enormously painful. Mm-hmm. But that's the sort of thing I should save for a punishment.
That's content. That's content right there.
So it'd be a hair versus hair match between me and you.
Oh, I like it.
But the hair on your head
versus
the hair on my body.
Yeah.
Back, sack, and crack.
On the subject of... Sorry, do you want
to... I was just going to say another one. Nose hair. So I've got hairy noses. My friend recently, he said it was one of the most painful things he's ever had to endure. But the 10 minutes afterwards were amazing. They wax a earbud and they put it up your nose and they get it all around there, leave it in for a bit, and then yank it out. And all of your hair comes out of your nose.
Oh, that feel. Because like when I get nose hairs, because some of mine just sort of like, they'll just creep out.
Oh,
it'll just be one really long one. It'll just sort of curl up around your nostril. Like, and I'll just get like a pair of tweezers and I'll just yank that sucker out. Or I just grab it with like my fingers and just yank that out. And that does make you go like, oh, and it makes you feel like your nose
is a
weird.
Crying response.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure I could deal with like a whole wax thing going up there.
But it kind of feels nice at the same time. After you've done it, it's kind of like a release, right?
Yeah,
You'll get you get all the pain.
But do you think that would just be more comments on our videos being like, you just do punishments that you want to do?
Yeah. They're the best sorts of punishments for us. They're still a thing.
Yeah, totally.
I wouldn't do them in my free time. Yeah.
On the subject of pockets on shoes.
Yes.
Someone did email in. Brad emailed in to say, hi, Luke. Shoes with pockets were a popular fad in the 1980s in the US. The biggest brand was Kangaroos. I'm sure Ollie will be impressed with the branding wordplay. I remember about half the kids in my elementary school, same as primary education in the UK, had these shoes and used to store their lunch tickets, basically prepaid vouchers, to get hot lunches at schools.
If I'm at those schools, I'm beating up those kids and taking their shoes.
Yeah?
No, I wouldn't do that. They sound stupid, though.
Kangaroos. Yeah, 1979.
What is it with kids and just putting gimmicks on shoes? Like, shoes have to be exciting to them.
Yeah.
Lights. Wheels.
The wheels ones never really made much sense to me.
Well, you get places quicker.
Yeah, but you're doing that... You know,
but then, your family have to catch up with you.
Yeah.
You are very rarely out by yourself as a kid with kicks. What are they called?
Wheelies. I know that because I used to sell them at the Entertainer where I used to work as a toy shop in the UK.
I'm just saying, kids, they're just shoes. Stop putting so much stuff on them. Pockets now as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was in the 1980s, so maybe that fad has completely died out. But maybe I'm going to bring it back, you know, with my anti-fashion agenda.
Well, you haven't got a piece of merch yet. You were complaining about this. And rather than a t-shirt
You say complaining. That makes it sound like I'm whinging, like I'm Randy Datsun having a proper whinge and a moan.
No, you have a proper prima donna fit about it.
I have said twice, I don't have a t-shirt. Laurie has one. He's barely been here.
He's got a gimmick.
I got a gimmick.
What?
I need to get a haircut.
I think shoes with pockets. So either we make shoes with pockets or we make a t-shirt with a picture of a shoe with some pockets on.
Yeah. I was going to have Podmaster.
It's going to sell zero.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go with Podmaster, like a Pokemon thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And potentially IP infringing. But we'll look into it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, like the Wendy's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can work around these things. James Dillon also sent in a list of dogs that you will be fine with.
Huh.
Hi, Luke. If the he says if the missus, I'm assuming he's referring to you, is looking for a dog and allergies are a concern, I suggest looking into doodles. These are dogs bred with poodles. Poodles don't have fur. They have hair and do not shed. This reduces the potential allergy attacks. A common example is the golden doodle, which is half poodle, half golden retriever, but there are a variety of options. The doodle dogs are very common here in the States. Not sure about your side of the ocean. If you're going to lose this battle over getting a dog, may as well get a well-tempered breed that won't implode your sinus cavity. Good luck from James. And that is what a golden doodle looks like.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's cute, right?
That's like a classic dog.
Yeah, it's cute.
If I drew a dog, I'd probably draw that, but with a patch.
And look at that one, mate.
Oh, look why at is it so sad?
Look at the face on that one.
Looks like it's abused.
Oh,
what's that toy in the background?
It looks like a carrot with two bits on it. Like two
to squeeze.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks for the suggestions. I'm never going to get a dog, though. That is far too much work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dogs
are a lot of effort.
Oh, like, yeah. But cats, now they don't care.
No, they just look after themselves. Yeah. Well, you don't own a cat. A cat owns you. Yeah. Like, you essentially just like, it's like living with a teenager.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Do you want a Rusev hail? How much time we got? Let's have this Rusev. Hey, this is from Cam. Good morning, Luke. I'm a reporter and news anchor for a radio station in Milton, Ontario, Canada. This past Christmas, I covered the Miracle on Main Street event created 10 years ago by Milton's most famous resident, Tiger Ali Singh, and his father, the legendary Tiger Jeet Singh. Do you know Tiger Ali Singh?
I know the name. Why do I know the name?
So Tiger Ali Singh was a wrestler. It was in the WWF in the late 90s. He was brought in to be like the Indian Hulk Hogan. Like they thought he was going to be the bee's knees. Bruce Pritchard has talked about him a lot on the podcast where he's just like he had everything, but then the bell had to ring. And then he essentially became the butt of jokes and racial abuse, essentially.
Hey, that's WWF, and you'd think it would only stop in the 90s.
Oh, no.
No.
He used to say things like, because he was used to, Vince McMahon would tell him to like wear certain outfits, and he'd be like, this is not my culture, this isn't my religion, and it's actually quite offensive, and my family are being really offended by it. He's been saying this in shoot interviews, and Vince just grabbed him and was just like, you wear the goddamn costume. So, yes, that was the...
Pow.
So that was the relationship that Tiger Ali Singh had with the WWF. Now, regarding of what your opinions are of Tiger Ali Singh, quote, the wrestler, note, he was pretty terrible. Tiger Ali, quote, the man, is a friendly giant. Every year in December, Tiger collects toy donations to eventually give out to underprivileged children in the Halton region as his big event, Miracle on Main Street. This past year, he joined forces with the Regional Police Service and announced that next year he is looking to make Miracle on Main Event a national event, partnering with Air Canada. I flew with Air Canada. This means he's going to fly across the country in the span of a day and hand out presents to children who otherwise wouldn't get presents on Christmas. Now, you may or may not ask yourself, why does an Indian-Canadian man celebrate Christmas? He said that to him, Christmas isn't about religion or race. It's a moment of the year where people can come together and find light in the cold winter. I wasn't sure how professional it was to email this in, but I decided, screw it. He's great, and he deserves the respect for the work he does here in Canada. If you've ever wondered, how is Tiger Ali Singh doing these days? He's a very, very, very rich man. I'm attaching a photo of Tiger Jeet Singh, a police sergeant, and Tiger Ali in a very humbling to see Tiger Jeet Singh of all people cry about the love of the community his son gives. And that's a photo of them there.
Hey, he's an enormous man.
It's nice, isn't it, right?
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh,
lovely.
Well done, Tiger. Thank you. The Tigers.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for that email. That was a really nice, heartwarming email.
He's a real reporter, unlike us.
Oh, absolutely.
We're news attainers.
Yeah. We just talk about AEW. Mm. We're not real journalists. Shall we have a joke before we get out of here?
If we must. I mean, we could talk about wishing me luck about the half marathon.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Sunday, but fine.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize it was this weekend.
No, it's fine. I've just been talking about it all week.
For some reason, I thought it was next weekend.
No, it's this Sunday.
No, I'm getting confused with my wife's half marathon. But, man, like, is your training fine? Is it all good?
It's fine.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so. Do you know where it is?
Where?
It's literally outside. The course, I have to run past our hairdressers that we just talked about three times. And I'm going to go into the breakfast club afterwards and stink the place up eat all the bacon.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's exciting. What's your aim time-wise?
10 minutes.
Yeah,
aiming for, realistically though, I'll be really happy with 1 hour 55.
Yeah.
I ran my first ever by myself and I did 1 hour 58, 52. So hopefully with all the people there and the sort of pomp and circumstance that comes with it, plus playing a really fast podcast.
I was going to say, are you podcasting or are you music?
A podcast. It takes my mind off it more.
Which podcast have you got?
Well, I've got an audio book.
I was going to say Conan O'Brien.
No, I am doing the Big Short novelization.
Oh, cool.
So a book on the financial crash. I'm so cool.
You are cool. But let's have a joke before we get out of here. Josh Googled wrestling jokes, and he says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, the Wrestle Tykes, James, Josh, Liam, Pete, Brian, Jamal, Emma, Greg,
oh,
and the
wow,
cardboard
that's the
Nikki,
whole gang.
But most certainly not Randy Datson."
Yes.
What did Devon tell Bubba when they were working at McDonald's? "Oh, Bubba, test the fries."
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Not good to make me laugh, but that is funny.
I think we've had this on the podcast before as well, but I like it. How many Vince McMahons does it take to screw in a light bulb? None.
Yeah.
Light bulb, screwed light bulb.
I thought you were going to say Luke.
I nearly did, because I'm very bad at my job.
No, Luke, I am your light bulb. We'll talk about Chris Jericho's podcast next
week. Oh, me and Laurie,
talked
about it. Yeah. Oh, so funny. And James, finally, with our final jokes. "I don't usually tell dad jokes, but when I do, he laughs."
Very, very smart.
I like that one a lot. But that is all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week on the Raw review on Tuesday, then for SmackDown on Wednesday. NXT back at its usual time on a Thursday, not delayed by a day.
Maybe.
Oh, actually, you're right. Yeah, because we're doing our Phase 3 kicks off on Wednesday, right?
Calibration. It's good. It's a day of calibration.
Yeah. So.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Anyway, thank you so much
for
listening.
Getting realistic estimate times is difficult. It's proved.
So we went
actually,
from 2 days to 5 hours.
Yeah, but a week was more realistic. So none of the times seem to match up.
But we will see you then. See you then. Terrible at this. We'll see you then. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.